I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
All they needed was a big lads trip to Budapest. Liverpool win, Barcelona don't, and Norwich have upped their FIFA setup. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 17th of February. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Dunn.
Ah, it's been a long time, Luke Moore. Do you think now we're reunited, it's going to be anything like Ipswich's game against Northampton last night? Did you see this?
You're going to stick the nut on me, is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't...
That was a really coded way of saying, it's been a long time, Luke, I've not missed you, and if you do step out of line today, I'm going to do what that referee did last night, stick the nut right in your face.
Well, I guess it depends who's the referee and who's the player in that.
Pete.
What, am I? What am I getting involved? Am I the player or the referee? Because I've got a little bit of a beard like the ref.
I would love Pete to be. I'd love to see Pete as a top flight referee.
Oh, yes. I would do anything apart from make any decisions. I am so woolly.
I mean, there's letting the game flow and then there's that.
Look, the best referees, you don't notice they're there, and I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't turn up on time, but I really liked that clip of because it was like Alan Judge, the player, and the referee Darren Drysdale. So it's effectively Judge versus Judge. Yeah, it's the unstoppable force paradox in shorts. I'm enjoying it.
I really like that crap footballer headbutt thing that all footballers do. Right, yeah. It's exactly the same, wasn't it? The sort of I'm touching you gently. Yeah, so means things.
There's a list of things that when I'm watching a game of football with my American father-in-law, I don't want to see happen, and that, because he throws his arms up in the air and goes, "What is this?" And that's one of them. The other one is when players pretend to be injured. He constantly and understandably just honestly asks, "Why do they keep doing that?"
Yeah, and I'm, is he a hockey
I don't
fan?
Know. Yeah, he loves hockey. Yeah,
right. So, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that is
hard,
they are hard, but that is a ridiculous sport for maniacs. Like, yeah, exactly. At no point should you be able to just throw your gloves on the floor and start wailing on each other. That is not a sport.
That's an authorized punch up, though, isn't it? That's part of the deal.
They let it happen in the NHL, I think, until one person's getting like a true advantage or there's like someone on the floor or something. But they let it carry on.
He's raking his skates through someone's neck.
But I remember, I can remember watching, I mean, this is a digression, but very, very briefly. I can remember my father-in-law, who was still playing like the equivalent of Sunday League ice hockey in his mid-50s and still playing pretty well and still being pretty tough. Like, so, and so... It's probably he's got a different measure of what's hard and what isn't, I would suggest.
The idea of Sunday League
ice hockey, it's just something else entirely, isn't it? Because you need like a lot of kit, and you need a lot of muscle, and you need you need ice as well for starters.
It's crucial, Kate. It really is crucial. Otherwise, you don't get much movement going on. That's the problem, you see. People are just tottering around on blades of metal otherwise. Yeah. You can't do it in a car park.
How recently did you guys see the thing where before an NHL, I think it was an NHL game, someone got a dog to play fetch on the ice?
Very nice.
Oh, I love it.
That's
very nice.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a dog at a football match for ages, by the way. That used to happen all the time.
Oh, yes, no.
It's very much like Bolivia and Peru, you see it nowadays.
Yeah, it's South America hotbed now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more cats. Security's terrible. Are more the ones who get the run out in the Premier League, I think. Because there was that one in the Wolves pitch. How long ago is that now? Two years?
One at Goodison as well, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's a specific local cat, though, isn't it? I wonder when they move stadiums if that cat will know where to go.
That was Neville Southall.
A specific local cat, like the other one travelled like Dick Whittington with like a little stick and
blue speedos on
his shoulder.
I'm concerned about that local Goodison cat, because isn't it the deal that cats don't like to move home, and obviously they've got their new stadium, whatever it is, 52,000 seater stadium. Alright, all very nice, Everton, but your cat's not going to...
Won't someone think of the cats? Yeah,
yeah, your cat's not going to know what to do with itself. It's not going to know where to go. Anyway, Liverpool have been on to Budapest to win, to beat, to reinstall their quality as a top-tier team. They beat Leipzig 2-0. Mane and Salah both getting on the score sheet. It's a decent performance. This is more like the Liverpool we expect, I would say, Luke.
Yeah, and Liverpool are a team that define themselves by Europe, right? So it felt to me massively like it was a nice departure from them, for them, a chance to reset, you know, tap into that tradition. It seemed like they relished it. And I wonder, actually, because Leipzig are a good... We know Leipzig are a good team. Anyone listening to this show will know that... or listening to our other show on the continent will know that Leipzig are, you know, decent. And, of course, they're managed by, you know, probably the most in-demand young coach in Europe. And Liverpool were able to beat them, you know, pretty handily. Okay, it came down to a mistake or two and all the rest of it. But it was a difficult situation. They were playing in an unfamiliar environment and they won pretty easily. So I wonder if that will be a catalyst for them. But on the other hand, you wonder whether Liverpool are just coming to the end of the road as this team, because they've been together for quite a long time. And you know, I was going back over some of the big games they've had as part of this current iteration. You go back to the team that played the Champions League final almost 2 years ago, it's practically the same team. You know, you go back to the 2018 Champions League final, and with the exception of Lovren and the keeper, they could field that same team now. So it's been a long old hop for this squad. So I wonder if this is kind of, if this will stimulate them, this will become a catalyst for them, as I've said, in a tournament that they identify with, or whether they were seeing the last kind of spasms, if you like, of a great side.
And it's been difficult for them because, of course, Lovren's the best defender in Europe. What did you make of it?
Still now.
Yeah, exactly. What did you make of it, Pete? I particularly liked Peter Gulacsy getting his head tangled in the net after he flung himself after that Andy Robertson massive long-range strike.
So undignified.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I think it was probably quite refreshing for Klopp to be able to play a side so eager to give Liverpool a game, which doesn't happen in the Premier League all the time. They really pressurised the full-backs and obviously lost the game quite handsomely in the end. But yeah, like Klopp after the match, basically said everyone was waiting for us to slip and we didn't. Klopp is finally getting that big British club mentality that everyone is against you, everyone hates you. And but Alisson's head was back on. Robertson attempted a lovely lob. You don't see enough of those kind of raked driven lobs anymore where the keeper's not even that far off his line. I really wish that had gone in, because I want to see more of those.
Oh, yeah. It was so close, wasn't it? And it was off the back of Mane sort of back-heeling it to Firmino as well, which was in a not dissimilar way to the manner that Firmino set up Salah in the defeat to Leicester at the weekend. So, I mean, it's cool, right? But I wonder if, you know, that's the answer to why Liverpool have had their form dropping off a bit of late. They've just been working on that one particular skill.
Well, I've nailed it now. They'll retain their position at the top of the Premier League.
The key for Alisson, in my opinion, was that all too often he's dressed head to toe in black. And I think it's getting him down. And last night he was dressed in yellow. It's resplendent yellow, a lovely custard yellow.
Yeah.
And he seemed a lot more positive.
Come out the goth shadow, Alisson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the evil Alisson you want to get rid of.
Yeah, he's like the sunshine. You know, we all need a bit more sunshine at the moment in particular. Perhaps he's radiating out that level of sunny joy. No, I like it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. And I also think that, just to expound the Leipzig point, Leipzig of I mean, Nagelsmann, although he was wearing a disappointingly conservative outfit last night.
What's with the shiny bits on the top of the jacket, though?
There's always a nod. There's always a nod, isn't there? You think, hang on, he's dressed sensibly today. Oh, there's always a little nod. He's saying to you, you and I both know what I'm capable of. Isn't it a taster? Isn't it a taste of the biscuit? Wait for leg number two. But anyway, he's able to tactically outwit a lot of other top managers. I mean, I've seen Leipzig school English teams in Europe before. And I've been in the stadium when it's happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's happened. So, I mean, it was a good result for Liverpool, given that they do still have these injury problems. Doing that, they still have Henderson at centre-back, which I think, and a lot of people think, cedes a lot of control of the game. Mm. They do have inexperienced players, you know, playing in the case of, you know, players like Curtis Jones and...
Who was excellent, by the way.
Others. He was decent, yeah. He obviously got his assist as well. So... it's a good result for them. I don't think we can stress that enough. Going back to the goalkeeper getting stuck in the net, I just feel really sorry for him. I just feel like he shouldn't have to deal with that. He's already got enough on his plate.
We've got goal line technology. Why do we need nets anymore? There's nobody in the stadium.
How long do you reckon it felt to him to get out of that net? It probably felt like it was about 2 hours. Like, time just moves so slowly when you're in that kind of position.
They didn't really show it in the replay either. It was almost as though they cut away as quickly as they could.
Don't do that to him. His kids are watching.
Oh, you speak about goal line technology, actually, Pete. They could have done with, Liverpool could have done with a bit more technology on this game. I think it's right to say, because that's... when the ball was played back over the line, it didn't seem to be completely over the line. When Mane, do you remember about half an hour in when Mane played it back for Firmino to score, but it was disallowed?
Yeah,
I only saw it live, and I didn't watch a replay because I refused to referee matches, and I thought it was over the line. So
because Pete's a professional referee himself,
I'm a professional referee myself,
do it again in his own time.
But it has to be completely fully over the line, doesn't it? And maybe this is a moment for goal line. We need goal line technology all the way around the stadium.
Yeah, I mean. Why can't we do that?
I think they're scared to. I mean, it sounds ironic now, given that what we're currently living through. But I think they were kind of, if I remember rightly, they were kind of reticent to make it about everything. It was just about key moments, wasn't it? And I think when the goal line thing worked quite well, that gave the authorities like a lot of confidence. But I mean, I was championing, and people will think I'm ashamed of this, but I'm not, and I'm actually going to re-up it now. When the VAR discussion was being had, Pete, I don't know if you remember, and I was championing a referee in each half. I was championing one referee in one half, one referee in the other, to make it easier for the referees, because they put referees, didn't they, for a short period of time behind each goal in European football.
Yeah.
Mm. And they seem to be pretty happy with that. And everyone was saying, what do they do? Completely missing the point. They were just pressing a button for the referee. And from that distance, you can't see a button being pressed. So they're standing there doing nothing. But I thought a referee in each half would work better. But, you know, that fell on deaf ears, Kate. And, you know, we live and learn.
So many things do. It's unfairly.
With me, they do. It's
we're
mad.
Listening. But, I mean, I think actually it would be more like to get rid of referees altogether rather than to have more, wouldn't it, if you had all of the goal, because actually apparently I know you hate tennis obviously because it's so upper middle class, but supposedly Wimbledon, as in the tennis tournament, are looking to just have no line judges at all this coming tournament, because you know it's all quite crowded in and they've used Hawkeye and they think they could do it without line
who's
judges
that,
in
who's
the,
that Aussie bloke going to shout at, how are we going to get those famous McEnroe moments?
He's going to throw his racket at
the crowd, hopefully. That's what they say about... Yeah. I was really surprised to read that Mo Salah has scored the second most goals in all competitions this season behind Robert Lewandowski. So, you know, because you feel like you get drawn into this narrative that like everything's going to shit for Liverpool, and yet they've still got a player like that putting goals like that away constantly.
Yeah, he's got 24 goals, I think, hasn't he? Yeah. And that's the hallmark of your really... top quality player, where they just quietly go about their business and almost desensitise you to how much input they're having. Mm. Something that, like, you know, obviously Messi and Ronaldo have done for years, where you know you look at like Messi one season scoring 32 goals, and you think, oh yes, right. I mean, most other players won't score 32 goals in a season in their entire career. but so the fact that Salah started to do that, I think, is probably a really good sign for him.
Yeah. I assume afterwards that Des Kelly was in a box for the post-match just as a result of travel restrictions, was he? Or has he just finally got away from Klopp?
I mean, he's always in a box. That's how it works with Dez. He needs to be preserved at all costs. He's got perfect hair and makeup. They travel him around in a Perspex box like David Blaine above the Thames. And we have to make sure that he is protected at all costs. Peter, I don't know if you've got any more information on that, but I believe it's a bulletproof Perspex.
It is, yes. And it's got its own oxygen supply like the limousine that presidents drive around in.
Does he break out at the end? Is it a sort of Houdini thing or is it... He's just hermetically sealed in there.
No, it's all done. It's all done hermetically. Yeah, he's actually in the. He'd be in his box now. This Perspex box. Probably having a little lie in this morning after working hard last night. Lying sort of horizontal in a hotel bed in Perspex, like when you see the body of Lenin.
Yeah, or Uda Hussein's bed in Saddam Hussein's mansion. That's what his bed looks like.
Yeah. Any more questions, Kate, or can we talk about Barcelona PSG now?
I think we need to get to Lionel Messi's hermetically sealed box as well. Yes, let's talk about that game. What a good one. PSG 4, Barcelona 1 in the end at the Nou Camp. Messi opens the scoring with a penalty after De Jong fouled in the box, and then Kylian Mbappe with a wildly professional hat-trick, I think we can call it, plus a lovely headed goal from Moise Kean as well. So, guys... Barcelona, right? They fired Quique Setién after the 8-2 quarterfinal defeat to Bayern Munich in the Champions League, yes. And then there was all this sort of faxing, which we'll come on to from the Messi.
The bureau fax. You have a bit of respect.
I use the term. Now, as Pete and I discussed on Monday, yeah, Pete, my maths is quite poor, but I would say that a 4-1 defeat is neither half as bad nor equally bad. What level of bad would you say it is for Barcelona, leaving aside the fact that PSG were excellent?
Well, it depends on how full your cup is, I suppose. Some people are half full, some people are half empty kind of guys. But either way, it's full of Messi's tears.
You are definitely half empty, Pete, by the way, can I say? I've known you long enough.
At this time in the morning,
you are definitely...
I'm still in my onesie.
I thought it was a real changing of the guard vibes about the last night's game, didn't you?
Haven't we seen this so many times with Barcelona though, when they get absolutely pumped? It's like, oh, changing the game. No, they're still good. They're still quite good.
No, but the difference now is I think they actually might be quite shit. I mean, whisper it. I mean, Brassel will tell you. But I think they actually might be quite shit now. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, I mean, obviously the fact that there's no fans makes a huge difference because you can probably get into some kind of existential or philosophical type discussion about whether it can be a truly iconic moment when you haven't got all the fans behind you and all the camera shots and reacting to all the events. But if you put that to one side, the fact that Mbappe's gone to Messi's house, right? the man earlier this week or the week before was saying, I can't have a say in who I prefer for the new president of Barcelona to be because... people already say that I run the club anyway and it'll be a bad look for me. But he actually said that. So it's his house, right? And Mbappe's come in and he's opened the cupboards. He's helped himself. He's made himself a lovely meal. He's got the nice wine out of the rack. Not even the wine on the side. He's got out the rack. Mm. He's taken the shrink wrap off it. And he's poured himself a whole bottle of wine. He's had a lovely time. He's put his feet up. He's not even taken his shoes off. And he's left and not shut the door behind him. That's what he's done in Messi's house. And for me, it's changing of the guard stuff.
He's tried all three bowls of porridge and now he's asleep on the ottoman.
Who's the big bear? Who's the big bear that comes?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's daddy bear? PK.
Gerard PK is.
He nearly ended up in the net.
Did you see PK losing his absolute shit at Griezmann just before half-time, I think it was? I don't know that my Spanish isn't, well, it doesn't exist, or whatever language it was that they were shouting in. But yeah, many wiser people than me seem to think they were calling
Chinese
each other motherfuckers. Oh, right.
Oh,
were they really? Do you think that non-football people like us read too much into the arguments between football players?
I don't know. I'll send the clip round.
I'd love to see it.
Like, I'm not a pro footballer, but I'm fairly certain that I annoy myself when I play fives or 11s or whatever because I'm always singing in my head. I'm always singing a song that I can't get out of my head. Now, I imagine that footballers probably do that. They probably think, have I left the gas on? What am I going to have for tea tonight? All this stuff. What nightclub am I going to visit tonight? They've probably got other things on their mind.
So two of the greats in football history, George Best and Marcus Speller. George Best... says in his autobiography that he's exactly like that, Pete. He's singing in his head when he's playing. Mm. And Marcus Speller, do you remember Marcus once told us that he He's always got Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero in his head when he's
playing. Stop it.
He did say that one. So I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure it happens. Well, there's a couple of case studies right there.
What did Dembele have in his head when he just fluffed a chance in the first half? I thought
it wasn't only that either. It was always like, why is Dembele 50 yards away when the PSG are attacking again? PK probably do himself some damage. He's been rushed back from injury anyway, and he's probably shouted himself hoarse at what's happening around him. But I mean, obviously, we know that Barcelona lost 4-0 in Paris before, didn't they? And then won 6-1 on the return leg to
go
through.
It'll be fine.
But I mean, the last game was at home though, wasn't it? Last night. So I mean, it's going to be difficult. I personally found it. I mean, the game, by the way, was of amazing quality. Yeah. I mean, it was, speaking of what we spoke about earlier in terms of a departure from the kind of drudgery of watching league football every other day. The game last night was like it was played on fast forward. It was unbelievable.
Yes. That's a really good way of describing it.
Like Di Maria and Neymar out, and they were just still so bloody quick. Not even in transition, they were just absolutely just putting Barcelona to the sword. It was just, I just love the fact when Mbappe gets in front of the goal for the first one, and Ter Stegen, you know, he's there, he's the keeper, he possibly could save that, he possibly could stop that, but and he, in his head, he must have thought, I've got a chance to block this because I am, after all, a goalkeeper standing in between Kylian Mbappe and the goal. But Mbappe just goes, nah, I'm gonna absolutely clout this fucker, and he does. Wow.
One of the things I'd say about Mbappe as well is that he obviously, in body, he is like extraordinarily fast, like extraordinarily fast. And like I said, he was a massive part of the reason why the game looked like it was being played on fast forward, particularly that final goal he scored, where they must have gone from one end of the pitch to the other in about 5 seconds. But he's also, the two other things I noticed about him, he's obviously so quick in his mind, he knows what he's going to do before he's even done it all the time. And secondly, he doesn't seem to overplay too much. Doesn't, in the big games that I've seen him in, and I wouldn't be someone who watches football, French football, as much as some others. And I understand, perhaps, you know, it's probably fair to say that in league, and he's not up against that much that often. Mm. But he doesn't seem to overplay that much. Doesn't seem to take more touches than he needs. And a good example would be that fourth goal, his hat-trick goal last night. You can see what he's going to do straight away. He's already opened his body up before the ball comes out to him. Doesn't take a touch to set himself. Doesn't give the goalkeeper a chance. First time, bends it into the far corner with such accuracy and whip. And I just think, to me, it felt like I say, that the baton's been handed over now, like in the final leg of a 4x100-metre relay, Kate. Posh people like athletics as well, right? So you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, I always used to have to run fourth at school. It was a nightmare.
Did you? Anchor leg?
Sometimes the other three had everyone else had finished and I had to run my leg. That was how crap our team was.
Anchor leg is big potatoes. You must have been well respected among your sprinting peers.
Oh, thank you very much. So, but enough about a great athlete. Kylian Mbappe is only the third player to score a Champions League hat-trick against Barcelona after Asprilla and Shevchenko. That was both in 1997. Oh. But on that note about
great
Leo
company.
Messi, do we have to... I suppose we should pay testament to him. And of course, this will be something you guys can listen to on the continent, which is out on Thursday on Football Ramble Presents. Don't forget about that. But Messi has scored in the Champions League in each calendar year since 2005. So that's a run of at least one goal in 17 consecutive years. Could we be seeing the last one?
Yeah. 16th, is it the 16th? I read it was the 16th consecutive Champions League season.
17 consecutive years, though, yeah.
Yeah, which is again, absolutely extraordinary. I also really liked that that Moise Keane scored his third goal in the Champions League this season because one of my most cherished memories of the player is being subbed for a sub by Big Duncan Ferguson after about 20 minutes for Everton. And I just think sometimes football's so weird, and you can say the same thing with Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting as well,
yeah.
Who, you know, you see him clogging around for Stoke and then all of a sudden he's doing what he's doing. And I also really want to add that Joe Cole didn't even bother trying to say La Masia last night, just started calling Barcelona's famed academy Masala.
Joe Cole's our most European-style footballer, isn't he?
I know, exactly.
He's so creative. But
Andy
can't...
Brassel does a great line on how Joe Cole started dressing like Rudy Garcia when he was at Lille with a beret and all sorts. He's very urbane, Joe Cole, when he feels like it.
Yeah, lovely to see Keane score. I really enjoyed it as well, though. That kind of header into the ground. Send it past Ter Stegen, absolutely flailing about the place. So, yeah, first leg only, but played like a final. 4-1 PSG against Barcelona, and Luke Moore has defined it the changing of the guards. All right, we'll have plenty more for you after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stakhanov's brand new show, My Seven Wonders, with Clive Anderson, is available to listen to now. Clive will be quizzing some of the world's most interesting celebrities, including Griff Rhys-Jones and Shappy Kosandi, about their own personal Seven Wonders of the World. Join Clive and his first guest, Dara O'Brien. Dara talks to Clive about his love for the Irish sport hurling and some of the extra benefits that come with owning a hurley stick.
It's just pleasant to have a big stick in the house every so often. For home security, it's always nice to know that I have an arsenal if I need it.
Oh, bear that in mind if I'm tempted to burgle your house in the middle of the night.
Just do it. Honestly, that's how I stand. I stand naked with my Irish testicles dangling, challenging people.
They discuss finding humour in quantum physics.
It's like saying, is the cat dead or not? Would somebody just open the box?
And discovering new passions during lockdown.
Lockdown ran a schism, essentially, between the young comics who immediately went, I must learn new skills. I must learn video editing and TikTok. And I must find new ways to bring my comedy to people. And the older comics went, yeah, retirement, it'll be all right, actually. The guy. Turns out, you know, it's okay.
It's not too bad.
Search My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on your favourite podcast player to hear the first episode now.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Yes, welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Luke and Pete in your ears today. Lovely to have you with us. Let's hear some of these.
Just email show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, Fisher, Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
This email's from Fetsy. Let me paint a picture for you. You are a 19-year-old failed musician who also tried his hand at professional football. Fortunately, you are the son of a filthy rich businesswoman and reality TV star. After a few failed attempts at football, do you give up? Try another gig, maybe? Try music again, for example. No, you don't. Instead, you get your mother to buy yourself a football club in the second tier, name yourself chairman, sign yourself as a player, and take the number 10 jersey. That's the story of Mandil Mapans, Mapisane. Mapisane. It's just Pisane, isn't it? You spell it like that. Yeah, Pisane.
Pisane, I think.
Pisane. Whose mother, Sean McKenzie, bought Glad Africa Championship Club Real Kings and named it Royal AM FC, as in Royal
Andile
Mpisane FC, and named her 19-year-old son Sherman. And he's now effectively made himself the star player of the team. What a legend. I will tell you, you have to Google this guy. Check out his Instagram. He's posted a picture, a video rather, of him coming on the field to play a bit of football, professional football in the second division. And he, he's terrible. He's awful. And he's putting awful clips of himself on his own Instagram and saying, hey, everyone, look at this. Look at
me. Sorry, Pete, is it the lack of curation you're angry about?
Well, he must have had better like chances or touches than the one he put on Instagram, but clearly not.
Yeah, that is some lengths. That's the Pete. Is it fair to say? I don't want to be unfair here, but if you became a multi millionaire, I can see you doing this on a whim over a weekend.
Yeah, but no, but I would hate to let all of the other players down. I mean, anybody else in that league must be looking at that team and going, "Well, we can sign every last one of those players because I imagine none of them want to be involved in this absolute clown show."
Sure, I'll do it on my own.
but he's put himself in the midfield kit. I quite like the fact that he's not like gone for like a striking berth.
Yeah, so he thinks he can hold the whole thing together. What? Why, yeah. Luke?
Put yourself up front. If you're going to do it, don't throw at the final hurdle. Put yourself up front on penalties and make yourself captain. That's what I would do.
Well, if you're chairman, you don't really need to be captain, do you? You can just pick everything. I like it. It's for me. I think I like also the idea that he's a confidence player. So he's posting that. Like you said, Pete, the clip of him is not great on socials, is it? Mm. I thought he might be recognising that he's shit, but I don't think he is.
I'd be absolutely stunned if that was the case. I mean, he's decided to go through with it. I mean, yeah. I don't know whose idea it was, but even if it was his mother's idea, he's decided to go through with it. He's not got any shame, obviously. So, I mean, who knows what's going on? I'd like to see it happen in this country.
Yes,
let me make that absolutely clear. Yeah. I'd like to see it happen maybe one team in the league, every division.
The Royal Pete Donaldson Mariners.
Abramovich. Abramovich up top.
It's not hugely dissimilar to what's happening with Sheffield United this season. I'm only joking. I'm only saying that because assistant producer Finn's a Sheffield United fan. Little dig.
I like it a lot. Any more digs, send them our way. show@footballramble.com or you can, of course, tweet us @footballramble. Now, we wanted to spend a bit of time on James McLean today because I think one slight positive, can we say, of the increased attention that everyone, the abuse that everyone connected with football has been receiving on social media has been getting, is that some people like James, who've been suffering with this for many years, are now being heard more broadly when they're calling it to attention and are now more part of the conversation. The abuse that McLean receives is not racist. He's a white Irishman, in case you don't know him, but it's basically xenophobic, and it's connected to his stance on not wearing a poppy. And on Monday night, his wife released a pretty troubling statement expressing the terror that she'd felt about one piece of particular abuse where someone messaged him saying that he would take a gun to Sunderland's game in Fulham in 2012 after McLean first refused to wear a poppy. I think this is something that, well, I've talked about this a bit on social media. I feel like death threats is basically the most basic way of determining that, oh, right, this is a really bad and monstrous set of messages. But yeah. What frightens me more is that it's the kind of underlying emotion and the quantity of it out there that's just so oppressive and disgusting, basically. We spoke about it on Book Club with Anne Tunkus this week, actually, guys. And I have a bit of personal experience with this. And it's threats, whether they're realistic or not, they basically have a life-limiting impact on the recipients. And anyway, I think the perpetrators should get a criminal record every time.
Mm. Yeah, I think the I mean, obviously we've been hearing that there's we've got like a football hate crime officer that was appointed at the start of February. I mean, little bit too late, you'd probably argue, but I do think the job is kind of too big for even law enforcement at this point. Like you have to look at the ways that people can get in touch the social media companies, and you know, we say this again and again, like it's not ideal. It's not an ideal situation, but social media companies have to take more responsibility for what they're bringing. You don't blame the postman for delivering like a letter, an abusive letter, but if it's a postcard that everyone can see, written in a big Sharpie, and you deliver one every hour of the day, like, social media companies are complicit. If a guest comes on our show and libels someone, you know, we're the ones that are probably going to be in the dock for it because we allowed that to be delivered, and it should never have got to this. It should never have got to this point where people can do this stuff. It's insanity.
Yeah. I think on the more, I mean, because obviously, just to be more specific about James McLean, because that's obviously the prison that we're talking about this through at the moment, you know, I find it absolutely baffling and extraordinary, actually, the amount of abuse he gets, which is, as you've rightly said, Kate, all drilled down into the idea that he doesn't wear a poppy, right?
Yeah.
Wearing a poppy is a personal choice, okay? It's called Remembrance Day for a reason. It's about the memory of people who lost their lives in conflict. You know, up until, I think, about 2011, the messaging on the poppy or the messaging around Remembrance Day was the motto, never again. The whole point of it was to learn from what's gone on in the past, the unimaginable bloodshed and loss of life, particularly in the Great War, but also in conflict since then. And the idea that it's now been co-opted by some kind of like crypto-nationalist right-wing political agenda where if you don't wear it, you don't love your country or you're not patriotic or, you know, there's a long, quite dark history about people being made to wear labels and having no choice to do so. And it's kind of rooted in the mid-20th century fascism. Mm. And so there's no shortage of irony there when people kind of insist upon it. It's a personal choice. He doesn't want to wear it for entirely legitimate reasons. It's his own decision to do so. And he should be able to, needless to say, he should be able to go about his business and do his job. At the same time,
and also, you know, do you think, Luke, that we should reassess what the poppy means in 2021?
It's been co-opted.
Like you said, it should be a commemoration and gratitude for the men and women who lost their lives over the two wars and beyond. But like the quiet nobility of these like disabled veterans down in Richmond putting together these poppies every year,
yeah,
just gets turned in every fucking November. Just gets turned into this nationalistic circle jerk, the Captain Tom JPEG fucking pan smashing flag fuckers. Every single November, we just get this fucking nonsense. It's funny how paying your taxes is never a mark of patriotism. That's never part of it, is it? So we got these journalists and politicians saying it's a disgrace that this person doesn't wear a poppy and that person doesn't wear a poppy. It doesn't stand what it used to. It doesn't stand for what we think it does anymore. I've stopped wearing it. It's tokenistic at best.
It's called Remembrance Day for a reason, right? And as I say, it's been co-opted. So, look, I think there's a more broad point, which Pete is absolutely right about. And Kate, you've talked about it very articulately in the past as well, if you don't mind me saying. Social media people need to start taking responsibility, the people who run these companies, because that's the vehicle that's being used for, and they are curating content. I've said it before. They're not just a platform. They're not just...
A town hall.
they're curating content. I mean, they're funneling people. At their worst, in Facebook's case, they're funneling people into extreme right-wing groups and encouraging them to be members of them. So, you know, there has to be something done on that front. But ultimately, it's about education as well, right? It's about finding out and drilling down into why people feel this way and why they're so easily able to be persuaded to hold these quite repulsive views. So that's how I see it anyway. I feel sorry for James McLean. I was moved by the statement his wife made. I thought it was awful. He is, you know, a man who deserves to go about his business and do his job without fear or favour of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, Luke, and something, I guess, broadly connected. And I suppose I was trying to put some sort of slight positive perspective on it, which is that as a result of a lot of the conversations around Black Lives Matter and this online hate concept has been brought more out into the open. And I think people are finding that they are more able and better supported to talk about these things, because James McLean, of course, says, you know, he's been experiencing this since he moved to England, which, by the way, is a place that he lives in because he likes England and the English and is not some sort of wants to bring it down, but it's also, you know, things that I guess colleagues of like Matt Lawton, the Times sports correspondent, I was just reading this morning, actually has been sent shit for saying some stuff about literal physical shit for saying stuff about some racism that he reported on about among some Brentford fans last month, and people think that counts as him grassing on the fans. So
it's just absolutely ridiculous. Do you know what? I think I know we need to move on, but just very, very briefly, I I've come to, because I was pretty keen for this idea of people need to register accounts and not be anonymous, and I think it was Vish who had a different opinion on that to me, or someone did anyway, and it made me think again, and I kind of understand the other side of it on that front. But I'm getting to the point now where I'm thinking probably the only thing that might start to stop this is just a lot of well liked popular people coming off social media for a sustained amount of time to force their hand, because there's no way social media is going to go anywhere, but it might force them into a decision. I was thinking maybe that when I was preparing for the show this morning, I was thinking that maybe that might be the answer, but
turn off, you know, the
who
internet.
Knows? I just think it's awful.
Just turn, and you know how much I love the internet, Luke. You
turn
know how
off.
Much
yeah.
I've been just turn it off. It was a mistake.
Just to pay for a radio antenna, Pete.
It's going to make making this show quite difficult, guys. I don't know if we necessarily need to go to
another. Go back to pirate radio. Get a little ship out in the
Sorry, just
the
to clarify, Lawton didn't himself receive the excrement. One of his sources did. So I don't want people saying I've added to that. But yeah, anyway. I appreciate having the conversation about this. And yeah.
Well, sometimes we like to have fun, but sometimes you've got to cover these things, right? It's important.
Because it literally happens every fucking weekend and it's exhausting,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So if we ignore, I think we said before, if the week that we ignore stuff and we ignore these stories is the week that the bullshit has won. So
you become complicit, yeah.
Sorry if we sound like we're repeating ourselves, but
unfortunately, we have
to do more and tedious people need to just stop. Getting on fucking
if they
Instagram.
Find it tedious, we could always just do a bit more on VAR.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what we can do now is get into Norwich, because what I read is that they're putting their parachute payments to good use, because they've basically built something that looks to me like not that good FIFA in a circle. In fact, Finn said it looks like FIFA on a fence, doesn't it, basically?
Yeah, so it's this thing called the SoccerBot 360, which, by the way...
Come to give on. It its football term. Perfect.
It's got to be, that's either got to have been named by someone whose English isn't their first language, which I think might be the case. I think it might
Homer
be a German
Simpson.
Invention. Yeah, or Homer Simpson, exactly. Yeah. And Finn, we asked Finn, or Finn just decided that he would describe it for us in the running order, and he wrote the following. I'm just going to read it verbatim. It's a circular pitch surrounded by video walls onto which projectors beam simulations of various match scenarios to which players have to react. It basically looks like FIFA 98 on a fence.
It costs $750,000. You can simulate bits from different games, as I understand it. Although on one of the key images, Luke, I don't know if you saw, it just had a whole load of trees projected onto it. So I don't know what game that is.
I saw that as well.
The forest, trying to get the forest cash.
Right.
Yeah, first of all, Pete is going to definitely buy one, which I look forward to having a go on. Secondly, I saw the trees and was confused. Nottingham Forest makes perfect sense.
It's hard to find the wood in them, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it can be. Chris Wood would be a bit mark for Chris Wood in that situation. But the other thing is that I don't know, Pete, and you're the tech guy here, so you could tell me, why can't they just do VR goggles for that kind of stuff and kind of make it a little bit more convenient?
Because I guess you'd have a lot of players vomiting up due to motion sickness. It's
oh,
not
really?
For everyone
okay.
VR.
Is it still that bad for that, is it?
It's
for a lot
so
of people.
Now. When did you
last
wear
your getting
VR
better.
Goggles?
I bought a set from Cash Converters about 5 years ago, and I've not been back, to be honest. I sold them back to Cash Converters as well.
The scene is so typically Pete.
I know, right? But I am I went on I found the SoccerBot 360 YouTube page checked out the current iteration of the software and hardware, and I am struggling to see how like a couple of Xbox Kinect cameras and a bedsheet couldn't do the same thing. It looks a bit janky and jerky and slow. Yeah. But this could have been the thing. But look, I'm not going to cast aspersions on what presumably is a fine piece of tech, but it looks very... It looks like they've made a lot of money at 750K when it comes to how quick everything seems to be running. The graphics seem a little slow for me. But I'm just saying, look, this could have been the thing that saved Kevin King's soccer circus up in Glasgow.
Well, Norwich should be applauded, right? Because this is symptomatic of them trying to invest their money into things that they can use forever rather than just spaffing it all on players. This is, I'm led to believe, by the Financial Times, no less, that Delia is very fully engaged and involved in the purchase of said FIFA mock-up. So, right. I mean, that opens a lot of questions to me,
which we probably don't
have time for.
To pick up on what Jim was saying yesterday, I mean, David Moyes using it as a harvester of souls. It'll turn into some kind of Resident Evil if David Moyes gets hold of it at West Ham. It'll be you know, the undead stalking around behind the trees, and you have to knock their heads off with footballs. But the one thing I would say about this is that there was this thing, and we talked about it years ago on the Ramble, called the Football Knot at Dortmund, right? And I'm sure other teams have got them now. And if you haven't seen the Football Knot, I recommend you you Google or YouTube that, because what it is the player stands in the middle in this circle, and he's surrounded by four walls that go quite high, and they've got little, almost like gigantic pigeonholes in them.
Right.
And at any point, one of the squares will light up and a ball will come flying out of it, and you've got to control it and put it back into another lit up square.
Oh.
And you've got to do it in this time, in the agreed time.
It's like a glory hole.
It looks absolutely amazing.
It's nothing like a glory hole. Don't say that. That's not what he said. He didn't say it.
It is. It's like a it's like a multiple footballing glory hole, right?
How big? And it's a foot. It's the size of a football, Pete. Bloody hell. Wow.
Some of us need room to manoeuvre.
Sometimes they're not glorious. Well, remember that. Sometimes there's nothing glorious about it. But anyway, this looks like an upgrade on that, and I think they might have misstepped here. I think give me the football knot, give me nothing.
Yeah.
I'm football knot till I die.
Football knot. Well, it's even more visceral. I like it. I like the football knot idea.
Sounds like they've got money to invest, so perhaps you should just wing Delia a tweet and see if she can get what's it called? Football knot.
Yeah, yeah.
Football.
You can imagine that's how German that is, right?
Yeah, pretty German.
Yeah.
Argonaut.
This is great.
Isn't that ancient Greeks? Anyway, coming up tonight, we've got more football for you. It doesn't stop, and it'll probably be quite good as well, because, as Luke said, some of this Champions League stuff is pretty tasty. So, Sevilla up against Dortmund, Porto, Juventus, and there's things for you in the Premier League. Burnley, Fulham, Everton, Manchester City. Hey, Luke, Patrick Bamford has revealed that when he started asking why he wasn't playing at Burnley, Dyche said that was because he'd been born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Now, Luke, where should he be keeping his silver spoon?
I hate posh people as much as the next person. No, I'm only joking. Look, again, it's Dyche. If I speak, I'm in trouble. In the words of Jose Mourinho, if I speak further, I'm in trouble. I've made my point. The evidence will be presented. I got tagged in that tweet about 100 times the other day. People saying, oh, well, you never know. I'm just saying, I saw it coming.
You saw it coming?
Yeah, I saw Dyche. I can just tell. I've got this sixth sense, you know. I can tell what kind of
you know what he's going to do before he does it. Is that what you're saying?
I won't go that far. I won't go that far. No, but I think. Do you think that Dyche came across really badly in that story? He seemed like a dickhead.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I just thought it was the sort of thing you might say to me.
As a fellow violinist yourself, Kate, surely you can relate to Bamford's difficulties there.
I thought come across as a bit of a dickhead, Pete.
Yeah, dickhead.
Yeah.
I'm the voice of youth.
Yeah, there you go. It's a full house.
It's a full house of dickheads. All right, on which note, if you're enjoying it, you'll love what's coming up on Thursday evening. Marcus, Jim and Andy are doing a live Q&A on our Patreon. They're going to be answering questions on all sorts of topics that you give to us, from Sven to Dominic, all the way back to Sven again. We're doing these live streams every fortnight on top of all our bonus shows. So get involved over at patreon.com/footballramble. We'd love to see you on there. All right, then, from the full house of dickheads, say goodbye, Luke.
Yeah, I will say goodbye, but I also want to say that if you are thinking about not joining that Q&A, I did one with Vish a couple of weeks ago, and it basically descended into a quite long Sri Lankan delicacy and food advice section, which was amazing. It was amazing. So I'm sure the guys will be able to deliver on that as well. So do check it out. And thank you very much for listening today. I'll see you next time.
Say bye, Pete.
Bye, Pete. Bye.
On tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, it's Vish, and it's Andy. See you then.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.